Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:07 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
In studio, nonetheless.
In studio.
That's got to feel good, right? Feels good here. Good to have you here.
Yes, good to be here.
It's nice. One of my favorite things in the universe, Melissa, is when the sun is rising like this and the moon is still out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good day right there. You know we're going to have a good day today. A lot of good things going on here at the station, of course. We'll get into some of that. Talk about some of the great things going on in our area this week. We're going to touch on all those things, along with having some fun. And it's live radio. You put Melissa and I in a room together. You never know what can happen. We're going to give away a set of River Kings tickets today. Ooh. Looking forward to that. Speaking of the River Kings, I wanted to mention that we're going to have Coach and GM Peckman on yesterday. And he was unable to make it for us. We weren't sure why. He was talking to the coach this morning. He's not feeling that good.
Oh.
Wasn't able to make it yesterday, but he will be here soon, as soon as he's feeling up and running and everything.
Good.
He's got a day job to worry about, more important than being interviewed by me. So,
well, and when you're sick, it's good to stay home and recover.
But we will have a set of tickets to give away to you, so you can catch your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Got another home game coming up soon. You can follow your Kings at riverkingshockey.com. Be sure to do that and catch every home game all season long at our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI.
Yes.
Looking forward to more River Kings and talking more of them. I want to get into a couple of other things for this day today. In the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock, Good Stories of the Day. That ain't right stories, and plenty in between. We'll lead you into Morning Magazine. And for today, we're going to have in Katie Wright from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
We'll catch up with Katie. And in part two, one of our favorite conversations every month, let's talk real estate with Coal Banker, Sear Realtors, JRC. We're going to be with us.
That'll be good.
The rest of the week going to look like this. On Wednesday, we'll have Katrina and Stephen Hittner from Family Natural Foods
on. Nice. They can tell us how their sale went.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Encourage is going to join us in part two on Wednesday. Kim Shields, our good friend, will be bringing along Sue Wolf and Lori Johnson of the Material Girls Quilt Club.
Nice.
Love talking to those guys. Great people over there. And then Thursday, Representative Katrina Shanklin going to be joining us. We're going to get a legislative update about the Assembly District 71.
Awesome.
From Katrina. Haven't gotten to talk to her in a little while, so that'll be nice. I think it was around the pandemic last time we got a chance to talk to her.
That's so been some time then.
Yeah. And in part two, UW Extension's Matt Lippert going to be joining us, ag agent over there. Matt and I will have a great conversation on Friday. In part two, we're going to talk with Colton Hutchinson. He is a water resource specialist, a scientist for Science by the River.
Mm.
We'll be talking with him about that. We got to talk about it last week a little bit. One of the more fun events in the area. I know last year's was a really big success, and this one no doubt will be as well. We have, of course, our regular lineup for the week as far as our sports schedule goes. Today, you'll have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Be sure to join us at 7:05. Coach Coronado going to be telling you all things ice-related with your Wisconsin Badger hockey team. And on Thursday, we'll talk Wisconsin football as Coach Leonard going to be joining us. He'll be here at 6:05. Not here, but he'll be on the radio at 6:05.
He'll be with us.
Oh, if he was in this...
By voice.
If he was in Rapids at all, he would be annoyed by me because I wouldn't stop bothering the guy. I've always wanted to talk to him. Coach Leonard going to join our airwaves at 6:05 on Thursday. Friday, WRI is going to have Nakusa football as they host Wittenberg-Brunhamwood. Randy Paul on the call, y'all. You know it's going to be good. Don going to run the board, so that's going to take good care of that. On Saturday, we, of course, will have Over the Back Fence at 11. Be sure to join us for that and spread the word about Over the Back Fence being at 11. And while you're talking about it, mention the Sunshine Polka Show at noon. You know, go ahead and throw both of those in there at the same time. We will also, of course, have Wisconsin football. That pregame will start at 1 o'clock. That's when our coverage will start at Michigan State for that one, taking on the Spartans. Going to be a good game right there. And Melissa, we have a couple of other things going on this week.
Yes, we do. We have the January 6th panel has been rescheduled, and WFHR will air that this Thursday starting at 12 p.m. So the House committee that is investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol has rescheduled. And the next and potentially final hearing will be Thursday, October 13th, and we will air it at noon. And then we also have coming up, the gubernatorial debates will happen on October 14th, and that will air on our station, WFHR, but I believe at 7 to 8 p.m.
Mm.
And then, yes, October 14th. And then it will rebroadcast as we can on Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., if, as long as there's not a game on our airways.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the debate between Tim Michaels, the Republican that is running against our incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be.
And that is their only debate.
Yeah, that's. I was just going to say, I believe that's the only time they're debating. Yeah, mm-hmm. You would know. You're out of our news, you know. That's. It should be interesting. The debates have been interesting. I honestly, because I come from a political family, I've always paid attention to debates mm-hmm. from the smallest level to the largest. And they've gotten more and more interesting as time's gone on, but I kind of like that as much as the political game has changed in so many ways, that is still a staple. Mm-hmm. You still have to be able to kill it at the debate. You got to do it. You got to be able to bring it at the debate. If you can't, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen people elected who had a horrible debate, but it certainly does stand out. Like mm-hmm. you don't, that's something you can't shake off. If right. you have a bad debate, like mm-hmm. it just stands. And that's been this case going all the way back to, like, you know, Abraham Lincoln and people like that, who a lot of people will say that Lincoln really made his president, his run for presidency, because he didn't win right away. Mm-hmm. He won after, you know, the way that he learned to debate and the way that he was able to present himself. And interestingly enough, the way he was able to present himself while not bringing down other people. He could just talk about himself and what he was going to do. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, crazy. Crazy
idea.
Concept. Yeah. In this January 6th panel, I just had a quick question for you, Mo. We don't spend much time on this or anything, but I am curious because I've been talking to people about it here and there and everything. And I talk to people who I know vote Republican. I know who vote Democrat. And I've gotten the same answer from everybody. Everybody's kind of tired of this being politicized. Like, this is not a Republican or a Democratic conversation. This is not what this is about. This is about somebody attacking, not somebody, a group of people attacking our Capitol.
Mm-hmm. And trying to stop a process that is protected.
Which is literally...
It's our democracy.
Which is literally the opposite of our democracy. Yes, it is everything against our democracy. Mm-hmm. That's what happens in third world countries. That's stuff that we report about here and shake our heads like, oh, I'm glad it's not happening here. Like... Yeah. So this is an important one. This is very important. For some people, they have tried to
brush it under the rug, pretend it's not a big deal.
And some people have tried to make it bigger than it is, mm-hmm. where they try to turn it into something it isn't. There mm-hmm. are two sides to this, and both sides are wrong. Yep. Like, it's plainly, just bluntly. No. Like, the facts don't add up to either argument. What happens with those conversations, both of them on the extremes, is we lose sight of the facts and what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us that were alive and saw what happened understand what happened. Look, we can't have this. I don't feel like I need that should be controversial. We should not be having things like this. We shouldn't be having people that are in favor of these things. This ain't America.
Made the right decision to postpone it due with what was happening with the Hurricane Ian and everything, you know, the devastation that happened down in Florida. That should have taken, you know, front and center, which it did, and I'm glad that they did that. But now we need to get back to it. We need to finish this process that was started to thoroughly investigate what happened.
Yeah. And glad we're covering it. Proud that we're our station's putting it on the airwaves. That's our job. We're an information station. 80-plus years, that's what we've done.
Yes.
And speaking of information, just as important as all that, fall foliage. It's important, Melissa. We got to get to it.
Okay, James.
It's important to me.
You're right.
It's important to me.
It's pretty.
I think I'm going to run out of gas like any day now because I keep just driving around. I take the long way home everywhere I have to go, like even if, just so that I can go down this one particular road or whatever. Yeah. Or like over my parents' house, Rosencrantz is always beautiful, like that road. So there's a couple of them here. When you're traveling back and forth from Abbotsford, are you enjoying that part of it?
The colors are beautiful.
Nice.
And there are definitely, I feel like we're kind of hitting the peak.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
It's part of the other reason I wanted to bring it up, too, because we ain't going to have this much longer either. Looking at the fall foliage coverage map from Travel Wisconsin, and again, you can go to travelwisconsin.com to not only support them, but to keep up on this, and they do such awesome work over there. Oshkosh is at 50%. Our good friends in beautiful Rome are at 65% foliage. Let's see here. Sheboygan. I'm sorry, let me say that again. Sheboygan at 40%. Stevens Point at 40% as well. Wapak at 85%. Wausau at 85%. Let's see here. And the Wisconsin Rapids area at 65%. They're saying about the third week is when we should be in full bloom. We should be in, or is that how you put that? Full bloom?
Full cover?
Full color.
There we go.
I like that much better. Full color. I like that. That's good. I like that. Yeah, but we'll see. I don't know. It's one of the more fun times of year, obviously, for a lot of us. And it's just a blast to see. But there's times, Melissa, I see, like, right in front of us here, we've got these about, what, four or five big, huge trees over by the artillery across the street, and we say a good morning to our friends over there, and the DMV, and bread and butter over here, and everything, all of our neighbors. And there's one tree that has been changing, but the others just have not gotten there yet.
Yeah.
So if you're, I feel like that tree. Like, I feel like I've been that tree my whole life. And I don't know. For me, I embrace that. I'm kind of like, I'm different. I'm never gonna fit in, so I might as well just embrace what I am.
Yeah.
Is that, do you think that tree feels odd, though? Like, awkward? Like, oh, this is a little, like, oh, it's a little sooner than I planned on. Like,
well, you know, that tree's been there for a good long time.
Yeah.
So my guess is, and I don't know if there's any way you can look back in the historical way that these trees have changed every year. Does it do it the same every year? More than likely.
Yeah.
It probably does. I mean, because, I don't know, growing up, I've seen the same thing happen, where the same trees turn first every time. So I would guess over the course of its life, it has probably eventually at some point come to embrace itself, and it's the way it is, just like you have, James.
It's like, this is me. This is who I am. I turn yellow earlier than everybody else, and I can't help it. I'm all right with it.
You can't let societal pressures make you feel bad about yourself.
I wanted to also mention something else, because we're going to give away some River Kings tickets sometime between now and 10. Be listening for that, everybody. And thanks to our friends over at the Arts Council, Sally Kistner, and good friends over there. We have four tickets, two apiece, to give away to the Linda Ronstadt Experience. Going to be performing this Thursday, October 13th, at the Performing Arts Center. This show is going to be amazing. This lady who is doing the work of Linda here is just top notch. We got to talk.
She was on The Voice, wasn't she?
Yeah. She was one of the finalists over there. She's really good. Tristan McIntosh is her name. She was American Idol finalist, as you were saying there. She portrays Linda Ronstadt on stage and she's going to be doing this at the Performing Arts Center here in Wisconsin Rapids. An 11-time Grammy Award winner, Linda Ronstadt's music genre ranges from rock to country to light opera to Latin, literally did it all.
Wow.
And kind of underrated in some ways, Linda Ronstadt. Mm-hmm. Take a trip in time as you hear Desperado, Heatwave, Tracks of My Tears, Hurt So Bad, all of her hits and all of the ones that she had a hand in, too.
Nice.
We got these tickets to give away. And, you know, we never get to do this, Melissa. Let's wrap up our first segment giving away a pair of tickets.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever done that before.
Oh, like right now?
Right now. We're going to do it right now. You
cool.
Call up 424-2600. Tell Melissa and I one of your favorite Linda Ronstadt songs.
Perfect.
Just give us a title of any Linda Ronstadt song. Doesn't matter. 424-2600. You win these tickets, and you'll be able to take you and yourself, or you, your you know, a friend, or whatever. You got two of them. You can take whoever you want to this concert. It's going to be a
awesome.
Really fun show. We want you to be able to go. Give us a call at 424-2600. Just give us a Linda Ronstadt hit, and the tickets are all yours. And be listening. We'll give this other pair away sometime this week right here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio, 722 on the clock, and we are diving into our National Day of Calendar for this October 11th, 2022. James and Melissa here with you, and it is National Face Your Fears Day.
All right.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
It's
October.
It is October. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say perfect for a Tuesday. I don't know why, but it seems like. I think that's a good point by you. It is October. We do talk a lot of scary stuff this month and everything. Why not face some of those fears?
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I don't know if you would consider a phobia a fear. I feel like a fear is something that can be almost self-made in some ways or happen organically, whereas a phobia tends to be something that is developed mentally that you don't really have any control over or anything like that.
So like a fear of heights would be considered a phobia?
Yeah, I would see so.
Okay.
Yeah. Conquering a phobia, like I can say I have done, there's nothing like that. Like you never stop riding that high. Like that is something that you always feel like a... So facing your fears and conquering them is amazing. if you are if you try and you don't fail, you try and you keep going until you succeed. If you fail, that's all right. That's mm-hmm. part of the process. Not many things are done on the first try, second try, even third try.
That's true. And sometimes facing those fears, well, they aren't. Sometimes they're not as just straightforward as, well, I have a fear of heights.
Right.
You know, sometimes it can be things that we have dealt with, traumas that we've faced throughout our lives that we no longer have in our lives, but you still have to face some of those traumas to overcome them.
I was in at least 11 different accidents before I was 13. You know, it had an effect on me as far as when I got behind the wheel of mm-hmm. driving and held me back for a long time. It wasn't as if one day I just decided, you know what, I should drive, and I just started driving. It took years of working behind the getting behind the wheel and feeling comfortable and basically ending up caring about a dog and worrying about the dog being in the front seat with me and worrying about
distracted you from your worries.
Yeah. It was not something that I, you know, really figured out on my own. It was something that me and my dog Gonzo figured out at the same time.
Well, see, but you had help.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what we need to be able to face those fears, to talk about it with someone, to work through it, to have a companion work mm-hmm. through it with you, mm-hmm. whether that's human, dog, therapist, you know, mother, father, brother.
Mm. Well said. It is Southern Food Heritage Day. Mm. I awfully do love the taste of Southern food.
Get me some fried chicken.
Mm. Yeah, grits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. A good biscuit. Like a good Southern biscuit. There is mm-hmm. nothing like that.
Biscuits something and about gravy.
Something about their food. Yeah.
And the South soul does, food.
Soul food, baby. That they do it right down there. Not that we don't hear, but it's just something different. Something different. Own business day. I almost tried to like put more S's on that. Own business day.
I've done that too.
Okay, thank you.
Don't feel bad.
Thank you. Help support independent businesses on Own Business Day by participating in their website, events, and hashtags to boost awareness and growth.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that can include us. That can include any of our local small businesses around mm-hmm. here. Local, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. If you have, you know, some favorites out there, today's a great day to show support to them.
Yes.
Let's see. Moving along. Got International Day of the Girl Child.
Day of the Girl Child.
Okay. Join in the events and discussions about issues facing girls on the Day of the Girls and help raise awareness about the sexism and discrimination girls deal with.
It's important. While we've made progress in this area, there is still progress to be made. We could start talking about wage inequalities. We could start talking about the fact that the largest, you know, court in the nation has taken away women's rights to their bodies. There are a lot of issues that we can talk about girl, child on this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, human rights are important.
Actually, Melissa, if you don't mind, let me explain to you what this day really means. No,
okay,
joking.
Please
do. I just couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I was just trying to blind the door. No. Is this worded weirdly, by the way?
Yeah.
International Day of the Girl Child? Okay, thank you. I thought I didn't know if it was just me. Everything Melissa said, well put, and I second, and I hopefully we've got many other people agreeing with us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could easily point to my mom, my sister, my two daughters, but it shouldn't take that. It should just take being a human being to care about these issues, to be in tune with them, and to understand that this is not going to go away. You are not putting the genie back in the bottle. You can go back to women's suffrage. You can go to the Me Too movement in recent years. These are issues. These are things that are going to keep coming up, keep happening until we deal with them, until we start fixing things
mm-hmm.
and making them better so that future generations don't have to do these things, that they can look at stuff and say, hey, things are pretty even. We're all right. You know, that's the only way we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Ada Lovelace Day.
Oh, tell us about Ada Lovelace. I'm not even sure I know who that is.
One of history's most influential figures, Ada Lovelace, helped invent the computer. Honor her contributions by learning about her and other pioneering women. Are you familiar with the name Ada Lovelace? If you're not, this is a name that is definitely worth knowing. If you are, you will know exactly why she deserves this day. Ada Lovelace was created to celebrate one of the first computer programmers. As the daughter of the poet Lord Byron, Ada Byron was brought up by her mother, Annabella, after he passed. Her mother feared that she would inherit her father's poetic temperament and gave Ada a strict upbringing of logic, science, and mathematics. Ada became fascinated with mathematics and designed steam flying machines, poring over scientific magazines of the time, and embracing the British Industrial Revolution. In 1883, Ada Lovelace was introduced to Charles Babbage, whom she helped to develop a device called the Analytic Engine, an early predecessor of the modern computer.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot more to her story, a lot more other things that she did. They do a really nice job of, putting things together. Mm-hmm.
Succinctly.
Yeah, but if you don't know who she is, I encourage you to read up about her. My mom was a big fan, so I don't know if that she's necessarily a common name.
No, I've never heard of her.
Okay. I think the only reason I did is because my mother heard about her when she was young, and I think she did a book report on her or something like that. But yeah, we heard about her at a young age.
Nice.
Especially because if I'm the little kid who was so excited about having an Atari, and I'm playing Pong on the Atari and freaking out, and my mom's like, you can thank a woman for that. You know, it's just like immediately started telling me about Ada Lovelace.
Nice.
It's National Sausage Pizza Day. You can have my piece.
Ooh. You don't like sausage pizza?
It's okay. I prefer, I love pepperoni. But it's, I'll eat it.
I would choose sausage over pepperoni
any
day.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So you can have that slice. I get the pepperoni.
Mm.
All right. Deal?
If I could eat pizza.
I as soon as I said it, I'm
No, it's okay. Every once in a while, I do indulge. I'll pay for it, but I do. And if I had to choose, it'd be sausage over pepperoni.
Right on. Okay. Well, today's your day.
All right.
I'm not sure what came first on the top for a topping, sausage or pepperoni. I wonder. all of these are great and worth celebrating. And this one may be the one that shines the most of them all. Certainly has the prettiest colors.
Mm-hmm.
National Coming Out Day. Take the leap to come out of the closet and be proud about yourself, or get involved to help others take this often scary, important step towards living authentically.
Yep.
If you so choose to.
Right.
If you choose not to, that is
also your
business.
Choice.
Whatever you do choose, it's your business.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that, I've thought about this because I grew up, I had an uncle who was a homosexual, and was really the first person that I was around that was in that situation. And my uncle, very unstereotypically gay as far as, how stereotypes go and all this. And my Uncle Louis was also the first person I knew that to catch the HIV virus.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very big influence on me. One of my mom's favorite people. So being around him at an early age, I realized something real quick, because I was talking earlier about being different, and I've always embraced that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew from an early age, this is just who I am. I can't really hide being a Jew. I can't really hide being Italian. I can't really hide what I am. Even the people who don't know what I am, they look at me and say, oh, he's something. I don't know what he is, but something. That's what I usually get from ethnic people.
Mm.
You are something. I can't put my finger on it. Latin? No, they'll throw a bunch of things out there before they get what I am. But
right, because it's important to label people.
Yes. Oh, yes. Of course. Yes. Homosexual, lesbian, these kind of things. That's something that you can't help. It is inside,
mm-hmm.
and you can't necessarily tell just from looking at somebody.
Right.
So there's this idea that you can hide that, but that's not necessarily the way that, at least from all the people that I have known that have lived that life or are living that life, it is not something that they necessarily choose one way or the other to do. And oftentimes it is not up to them to come out. And that is just one of the more disgusting things about our society, I would think. It's a personal choice.
Let's take something that's a little less controversial. That was also stigmatized and forced on people throughout our history, whether or not you are right and left-handed.
Yep.
You don't get to choose that necessarily.
No.
And how many children were beaten in school and forced to write with their right hand because, it was wrong to write with your left. You can't write with your left hand. That's wrong.
I'm one of them.
I was one of them. I was born left-handed. I had to do everything with my right.
My dad's left-handed. My brother's left-handed. You know, that's not something that's wrong anymore. There's nothing wrong with being left-handed.
I will say this. It has given me a lifetime excuse of bad penmanship.
I disagree. I have seen some left-handed writers that have beautiful penmanship. So that's just an excuse, James.
I was trying to find a comedic way to wrap up the segment. It was a reach. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back after Melissa's news. Got some fun stuff to get into. I want to dive into Halloween candy loyalists. Ooh. Are we Halloween candy loyalists?
We're going to talk about candy corn.
Candy. We're going to talk about candy. When we come back, our mornings at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Almost went into my old classic rock days. Gave the wrong call letters. Almost went right into my old classic rock. Boy, that was close. That was really close, actually. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Melissa and James here with you. 7:40 on the clock. And we're going to talk Halloween candy now. Are you a Halloween candy loyalist? Loyalty is very important, Melissa.
Okay.
It's one of the most important things in my life.
Well, it is very important.
Yes,
but
it
what
is.
Makes it Halloween candy, James?
Well, good question. Wonderful question. I think that's a perfect starting point. that's such a, I didn't even think about that. Generally, like, I mean, that's a really good way to look at this. Because, what does make something a Halloween?
Because some of the best candy that you get when you're trick-or-treating are, like, the full-size candy bars. You know? My favorite would be Milky Way or Three Musketeer. Or maybe, you know, a third choice would be a Snickers, but... Those would be the ones you'd want, but what makes that a Halloween candy?
I think that's a fantastic question. I have to say real quickly, I want to promise something to all the little kids that come to my house for candy and everything during on Halloween, on All Hallows Eve, this coming up on October 31st, that Monday. I have nothing against these, you know, fun size edition of the candy bars and all that. Nothing against them. Very convenient, easy bag to grab, all that.
Cheap.
I grab the big ones. You will get the big candy bars at my place. The big ones are always.
Yep.
Always.
And then we closing down early.
Yep. Yep.
When we run out.
Yeah. Like open for like a half an hour. That's it. And that's not nearly as bad as my father. My father would have to buy like three bags of candy because every kid would just be grabbing a handful. Like, here you go. Here you go. He just loved making kids' days. Like, he loved it. 23% of Americans are considered candy loyalists. Two-thirds of them have been buying the same candy for at least 5 years, and 40% for more than a decade.
Oh, to, like, give out at Halloween?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. So this is all about kind of, and essentially, I mean, I wouldn't say how many people buy candy they don't like to hand out.
To hand out?
Yeah, I mean,
usually that seems kind of... counterintuitive.
Yeah, usually you're going to buy candy that you like also. the best-selling candy, or maybe that's the way you need to do this.
And you get to that guy's house, man, why does he like Red Hots so much?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And Lemonheads, what's up with this guy?
Guy's just got a completely red tongue.
And a yellow face.
50 years old, yeah. The best-selling candy last October was Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and Peanut Butter Pumpkins. The rest of the top 10 are Peanut M&Ms, regular M&Ms, Snickers, Hershey Bars, Twizzlers, Kit Kats, Twix, Starburst, and Milky Ways. There's a major east-west divide when it comes to the top-selling candy in each state. In the eastern half of the U.S., it's peanut butter cups, or out west, it's peanut M&Ms.
Oh.
The only outliers are peanut butter cups in Wyoming and regular M&Ms in Hawaii and New Hampshire. We will take an extensive look at that map, though. Don't worry, everybody.
Okay.
We'll take a look at
that
map. Chocolate candy is still the most popular. 84% of people who plan to buy candy will buy at least some chocolate this year. 23% of people who give out candy base their buying on their own preferences more than what trick-or-treaters want. So if you love Charleston Chews, you're buying them. Disappointing every child that has never heard of them and doesn't want them.
Oh, but they're good.
They're really good.
They are good.
Give them a chance, kid. You can freeze them.
That and Toblerone.
You freeze them and you could build a house with those things.
Right.
The way as hard as Charleston
Chews. Better than Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, really. Twizzlers are more popular than Red Vines in 41 states.
the nine states that like red vines more are all out west. Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Hawaii, and Alaska.
Hmm.
Also, Smarties are more popular than Sweet Tarts. Milk Duds beat Whoppers. And it's a pretty even split between Blow Pops and Dum Dums. Now, that's ridiculous.
That's, well, it is, because Blow Pops have gum in them.
Thank you, Melissa.
Dum Dums do not.
Two
and they're smaller.
Dum Dums got some great flavors. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But,
more flavors.
But still, I counter with what Melissa just gave you, gum and candy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a win-win.
It's a two-for-one.
It's a twofer. It's a twofer. It's awesome. You can't
also
beat it.
The candy that gives me nightmares.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yikes. So, whoa.
Well, I've mentioned my bubblegum nightmare before.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of gum that is in a Blow Pop is the type of gum.
Gotcha.
That's in my nightmares.
All right. I will eat all those for
okay,
you,
good,
Melissa.
Thank you.
That's the kind of teammate
after
I am.
After we trick or treat, I will give those to you, and you can give me the chocolate.
Mm-hmm. That's the kind of friend I am.
Right.
That's the kind of
we'll trade. Even
sounds
up.
Sounds like a good one, yeah. We're only at the start of candy buying season, and Instacart data shows it should start to ramp up this week and won't peak until a day or two before Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for costumes, pumpkins, and decorations. It's kind of interesting. Going back to doing this show with Bob and everything, this has been the case. We tend to take our time with these things, even our costumes.
Yeah.
And it's like a week beforehand, we're like, oh, I should decide on something. Whereas the opposite of when we're little kids. When we're little kids, it's, oh, I got to be a G.I. Joe guy. I got to be
right.
This.
You planned it six months in advance.
Yes. Yeah, I am. Although I will say, I mean, every kid like that, there's plenty of kids, too, that go to the store, they want to be this, and then they go to the store, and they see that costume. You know?
Right.
And they're kids. They're still kids.
Yeah, you get the option to choose.
I know I was one of those kids that I was going to, I got to be Han Solo. Like, you know, as soon as I see it, and like for like a year, that's what I was basically going to be and stuff. And then my poor parents are like, I don't know how we're going to, there is no Han Solo costume, Jimmy. Like, there's like, be a ghost. Be a ghost. I'm pretty sure that's what they did.
I was just disappointed I didn't get to be the Cookie Monster.
The
one year that I remember that we got to go trick-or-treating, because my brother and I had hand-me-down costumes, and the Cookie Monster one fit him.
Oh, that's
so
rough.
So he got to wear it, and I didn't.
That's,
but it had the eye thingies on
so
top
awesome.
Of the head.
The old is great.
And they made noise.
Outside of those plastic costumes we got at Kmart, where it just had like the little like mouth you couldn't breathe out of and everything, like outside of those, I think old school costumes were the best.
Well, because like it was also warm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yes.
It was like a onesie kind of thing.
Oh,
with a hood.
I got a good one for you. I don't think I've told you this one. The audience has heard this one almost every Halloween. But we first moved to the projects, first moved to South Chicago and everything. Mm-hmm. And all my Halloween costumes, same thing, like majority of people, hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
Because we had just moved, we didn't have a lot of all of our stuff. And we only found one box of like costumes. And they were all like little kid costumes, except for one.
Mm-hmm.
A Pink Panther costume.
Ooh.
And this was a brightish Pink Panther costume that I wore in South Chicago.
Ooh, brave.
Yeah, yeah. People wonder how I know how to fight. People wonder why I know how to throw a punch. Like, I mean, my parents made me do that. Like, do you know what I went through? I will say this.
Just
throw
him right in the fire.
Right?
So it's fine.
Right?
He'll come out okay.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? I come home with a busted nose and or a busted cheekbone and everything, and they're wondering what happened. I'm like, what do you think happened? What do you, I didn't say that, but I will say I was the only kid that was warm in my costume, though.
Yeah, you know, right?
Because you're right. Those costumes, they were so warm.
Yeah.
And I have never looked at the Pink Panther the same way. Like, I've always felt a kinship to it, actually. But Americans refuse to throw away leftover candy. 86% of people who end up with extra candy will keep eating it for up to 6 months. Darn right. Ain't no expiration date on that Snicker.
No.
I try to make it last, like the Halloween. I try to make it last.
I hid mine.
Oh,
it's still
nice.
In the cupboard.
Nice.
But it's not chocolate. So,
yeah,
because chocolate will start to discolor, like it turns white, which doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but the candy I have is just fine.
Looking at this map of like the top candy in each state, it's kind of funny because it doesn't.
It's a complete split.
Yeah, and it's
except
M&M's over in New Hampshire, it looks like. I think that's New Hampshire, right? Yeah, that's New Hampshire. Yeah, that's New Hampshire. So M&M's in New Hampshire, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in Wyoming, as we talked about earlier. Otherwise, yeah, the whole country.
It's complete split.
Peanut M&M's on the West Coast, and then here in the Midwest and the East Coast and down South, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You know, if I had to pick between the two of those, I would probably go with the cups.
Yeah, yeah.
Because peanut M&M's, I don't know, they're fine and all, but there's nothing like the creamy peanut butter with the chocolate.
I'm not big on mashups. I really don't like it with my food. I don't like it with my candy. The only time I like chocolate and peanut butter together is Reese's. I don't know what it's the perfect combo for me. Like yeah. It's the perfect combo. So I actually
like
don't mind
it better
those.
If it was dark chocolate.
Yes.
That would make it so much better.
Get on that, Reese's.
Right?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing at your factory that you have not made that yet?
Well, let's talk about the entirety of America and their obsession with milk chocolate for a moment.
We could spend some time on
we
that
could.
One.
We don't need to.
All I'm thinking about is dark chocolate. That's all I'm thinking.
Because you and
about.
I like dark chocolate, but yeah. Obviously we may be in the minority on this one.
Surprisingly, I didn't realize that until it started coming up more on our shows here and stuff, and I've talked to listeners, and like, you like dark chocolate.
Well, you know, though the major candy brands have started to have more dark chocolate. Like, there's the dark Milky Ways now, and I think... Kit Kats also has some dark chocolate flavors available. Of course, they also do white chocolate. But
yeah, I will never understand white chocolate. My dad loves it, and it gives me a headache. Like, I don't understand it.
The only way I like it is white chocolate chip macadamia nut cookies.
That's my mom's favorite. That's
those
interesting. Wow, you just blew my mind. That's hilarious. I think like you two are the only people I've ever known that like those cookies. That's crazy. That's funny. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. We're going to get into some more fun stuff lined up for you on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Next hour, we're going to kick things off getting into how much exercise does it take to burn off a pumpkin spice latte? we're gonna get into that.
Okay.
Is everyone losing their mind?
Yes.
Yeah, we've got to get into this one, the five rules for surviving a silly world. And, of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up a little bit later. A That Ain't Right story involving a new wedding trend. And I actually
a new one?
Yeah, and I thought it was an Onion headline, I swear to you. I had to double check, and I actually went to the Onion website just to make sure. Like, I've never done that. Well, I've done it once or twice, but not often.
Practically going to snoops.com to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. All those coming up in the 8, 9 o'clock hour. And, of course, keep listening. We're going to give you a chance to win some River Kings tickets.
Oh, yeah.
What is the state with the most colorful cars? Most colorful cars.
Okay.
Last month, a study on diversity in America found that the most diverse state is California, and the least diverse state is West Virginia. But when it comes, which is kind of interesting.
But think about the size.
Yeah.
California is ginormous.
Yeah, yeah.
West Virginia is pretty tiny.
It would be worrisome if California wasn't diverse,
right.
as big as it is. Same thing as Texas, right. Florida, any of these. And I think that while they always bring up California, Florida is probably the best example of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at like literally every 5 minutes, it's a different type of thing that you're dealing with that state. It's the way it is spread out and everything.
Yeah.
The website iccars.com put out a new report on car sales by color throughout 2022. So far, they found that white is the more popular than ever. 26% of cars sold nationwide are white, which is up from 22% just 5 years ago.
Wow.
So that's a giant jump. Black is the second most popular, followed by gray and silver. If you add up the percentages for those colors, 79% of cars sold as grayscale. like you are watching a black and white movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The state with the most colorful color diversity is West Virginia. So their people aren't, but their cars are.
Mm-hmm.
According to the data and everything.
Mm-hmm.
they were at 20% of their cars sold are colorful. The state with the least diversity is California.
Wait, that's opposite of what I thought you said in the beginning.
Well, I was talking about diversity with people.
Oh.
But with cars, it's the complete opposite. Isn't it? It's kind of
funny.
It's kind of funny. The state with the most colorful, again, West Virginia, least colorful, California, where only 17% of their cars are colorful.
Weird.
If you exclude grayscale colors, every state's top color is either blue or red.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of safe colors. I think that the old stereotype of never buy a red sports car or a red vehicle, that kind of went out the window a long time ago. But I remember when we were kids, they would tell us, you know, never buy a red car because they get pulled over for speeding more often or something.
And insurance rates are higher.
And insurance rate, that's the one I was thinking. That's what I meant. That's the one I was thinking of. I don't believe that is the case anymore.
I don't know. We'd have to ask about that because I think insurance rates still are for certain I think it's types of cars, too.
And I'm thinking of a study that happened long before you were with us, Melissa. It was right before the pandemic even happened and everything that we did that was about that. So it could be completely changed. I mean, everything has changed since then. So it could be completely different now. That's a good point. Let's see here.
But there's such a variety of colors within those two shades as well. Whereas if you think about, for instance, yellow, not a whole lot of shades of yellow.
Unless you're a Packer fan. Oh, shots fired. I'm sorry. That's not gold. It's yellow. It's the same color as Big Bird. Is Big Bird gold? No. Big Bird is yellow. It's the same color the Packers have. Just make it gold. I don't understand. I'm going to get some hate mail on that one. James at WFHR.com. All the remaining colors colors account for less than 1% of cars' sales each. But if you're curious, here's the order. Brown is the seventh most popular car color, followed by green. Green, orange, beige, purple, gold, and yellow. I wouldn't have expected brown to be that high on the list.
Beige, purple, yellow.
Experts say that white is popular because it's one of the easiest colors to maintain and because it is a common color for fleet and rental vehicles. That leads to white used cars being very common. But there's good news for people who are brave enough to buy a bold color. Less popular color trends tend to deprecate less because they are scarce in the used car marketplace.
Depreciate.
I knew that word didn't sound right when it came out of my mouth. It's not 8:30 yet. By 8:30, I got to get these down. That's a little different. It's an interesting list and everything. It's interesting to me in period that colors in cars matter. Other than the fact of what color you prefer,
right?
Like that, there's actual like,
or what color the car you find happens to be,
right? Yes, yes. My car was yellow, or any other color, I'd be owening it. Like it just so happens
to be the same color as your last one.
Worked out. But
too funny.
I needed a vehicle so bad that by the time that I saw, this checks out. I honestly, the color was like the last thing I looked at on that thing.
When you're buying a used car, that's kind of very, you know, not important part. But I did look it up, and it's a myth. Insurers don't care what color your car is.
I didn't think so.
No.
They
have no infrastructure to rate cars based on their color.
That seemed right. And the article we did a couple years back, I believe, was from the AP. So it was one of those ones that has some legitimacy for me, at least. But at the same time, like, all bets are off. In the last couple of years, like, it would not have surprised me if you told me that burgundy, like, was a color that you got to watch out for. So I'm like, I don't know anymore. Who knows? As far as these rankings, white, black, gray, silver, blue, red, brown, green, orange, and then beige, your top 10 colors. Interesting list. Interesting.
Yeah, it is. And every time you see a car out there that's really out there, you're like, whoa. Like those really blush pink ones.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the ones with the paint job that the color changes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want one of those. Yeah.
Those are cool.
That does
You put
cool.
your hand on them, and then you can see your handprint.
There was one where it rains, and when it rains and it hits the car, it changes color.
I had a Matchbox car like that.
Ooh. Oh,
you
I
get it wet.
Yes, you did. Yes. I did too. Yeah.
You run it under hot water and it changes colors.
I forgot all about those. I got to find one of those. Those were awesome. Not that I'd play with it.
Well,
I mean,
no,
not
why
at
would
all.
We do
I
that?
Mean, no. We're going to go to commercial break, play with our Matchbox cars.
We're going to play Vroom.
And we'll come back with more on Mornings on WFHR.